He is good. Amen. He is good. Praise God. Well, I'm thrilled to be here with you. Just like I said, I think it was Saturday or Sunday. I can't remember when I said it, but I hope you're not sick of seeing me yet. Well, we saw him one time. That's enough. We're done with that guy, but I can't get enough of you, so I'm excited to be here. And where two or three are gathered in his name, he said, I would be in the midst of you. And so we have two or three. Jesus is here. You know, Jesus doesn't need 2 or 3 million to do something. He doesn't need 2 or 3,000 to do something. He doesn't need 2 or 300 to do something. He said, 2 or 3, I'll be there. Praise God. So we're ready. Glory to God. Well, let's pray and believe him for utterance tonight because we need help. He's got what we need. We need to hear some things. Praise God. So Lord Jesus, thank you for loving us, caring for us, sacrificing for us. Now, Father, we praise you tonight and we come together the way that you intended us to come together, which is the corporate anointing. And Father, you said in Hebrews 10:25 that we should never forsake this, but as we get closer to your return, we should do this more and more. Father, the reason is because this is where your spirit is poured out. This is where our help is. This is where answers come. This is where utterance is given. And so, Father, we look for all those things tonight. Thank you for our help. Thank you for our instruction. Thank you for revelation. Thank you for insight. Thank you for wisdom, impartations, Father, correction if need be. But Lord, we're just here to receive what you have for us. Do what you want to do. Say what you want to say. And Father, we'll give you the glory. We'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Go with me to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. God is good. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. If you were here Saturday or if you watched on live stream and got to see the message, you know, we talked about what's ahead for the world. And, you know, it doesn't look pretty for the world. You know, the Bible tells us that there are some things ahead that are going to be frightening to see, and things that it's going to cause people to be terrified and not be able to, you know, they're going to lose their lives over just being afraid, the Bible says. And so we know this, that even though the things are going to look that way for the church, for the body of Christ, we have an answer, glory to God. And it wasn't doom and gloom on Saturday. You know, it was facts being preached, but us to know, hey, we better be prepared. And I think 2020, things we're seeing that we've never seen before, experienced before in our lifetime, it ought to be a wake-up call to the body of Christ that we better be ready for these things that Jesus said are coming on the earth and that we're in the midst of and we can see. And so, you know, a lot of times if things don't, you know, adversely affect us right, you know, in our face, maybe we kind of brush it off, but the coronavirus and everything that's been going on, it's touched us somehow, you know, it's affected us somehow. And we can see the effect it's had on the whole world. And so this is a worldwide thing that Jesus was saying, but praise God, we saw on Saturday that faith is our answer. Hallelujah. 1 John 5 and verse 4 says, for whatsoever is born of God, are you glad you're born of God tonight? Oh, praise God. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Now that right there, that should tell you and that should take all the fear from Saturday's message and this weekend of everything coming upon the world. It should take it out of the way for the Christian. Because if we're born of God, we have the legal right to overcome anything that comes on the world. Doesn't mean that we won't be tested, doesn't mean we won't be affected by it, but we don't have to be overcome by those things coming on the world. We can be the overcomer. But we saw here that this verse says, but there is a victory, there is a way, there is a operation to walk through to walk that out. And the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. And it's so important that he makes that personal. It's so important that you make it personal because a lot of times, You know, we're in a society and in a world where we want everybody, well, I should say, I don't mean we here, I just mean in the world as a population, generally like people to do things for us. We want everybody to take up the slack for us. We want the burden to fall on other people. And that's one thing about faith. Faith is our personal part in this. Faith is how we can assure that God moves through our situations. And he says, if you want to be victorious in the world, it must come through your faith. That's why I've been banging the drum since I've been senior pastor for 10 years this September on faith, 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 faith. Because it's not my faith that's going to cause you to overcome. It's not Pastor Michael's faith or Pastor Nancy's faith that's going to cause you to overcome. Our faith can encourage you. Our faith can stir you up. Our faith can be an example, but ultimately, when the fire comes to your front door, it's your faith that's going to cause you to overcome. And so we want to be in faith. And we mentioned on Saturday at the end, well, where do we start? If faith is our answer, because I said we need to be good faith students. Well, it all starts with having faith in the one that's going to move the mountains. We're not the mountain mover. Our faith's not the mountain mover. Our God that moves through our faith is the mountain mover. Amen. And so it's about having faith in him. And so go with me real quick to Mark 11, verse 23. We've talked about these verses a lot when it comes to the subject of faith. But I wanted to give you a head start, a jump start in this homework assignment that we gave you for the rest of your life to be a student of faith. This isn't just, see, these trials and tests that come should not just alarm us and wake us up to do the right thing because of the coronavirus, because this will pass and people will go back to their lives, but there'll be a next thing. And when the next thing comes, and maybe it'll affect us even more and have a temptation, or it'll have a natural effect on us even more than this did, my faith still will overcome it, but I better make sure I have faith. And so Mark 11, 23, we know these verses, but I want to read them because they're so good anyways. It says, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Aren't you glad that it doesn't say that if you have a mountain in your life, you're in trouble? If you have a mountain in your life and you can't get past a mountain, sorry, you're on your own. No, we can deal with the mountains. Praise God. And then he says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them." So these two verses are Jesus' words on faith and how faith operates. And we see in both of these verses that faith must be released, right? Faith must be released through the mouth. We know we've been taught that faith is in two places. It starts in our heart, for with the heart man believes, but with the mouth, Romans 10 tells us, confession is made unto the promise of whatever that promise is. But here's what I know, that we have to release our faith for faith to work. Well, you can't release what you don't have. And, you know, when you're fishing, you know, if you can't, you know, say you're not going to try to keep the fish to cook them, and a good day, you know, you catch and release. You can't release them until you first catch them. And you can't release faith until you first have faith. And the Bible tells us in Mark 11, 22, where our faith starts. Because 23 and 24 are the releasing. 23 and 24 are the it's coming here to here and out. And then when it comes out of our mouths, that's when the change starts to be affected in the natural. But it starts somewhere. And verse 22 says, "Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God." That's the very first thing he says before you even think about opening your mouth, and before you think about praying and believing. Because when you are speaking to your mountain, let's say a financial mountain or a physical mountain, you're speaking to that mountain. It's not you that can change that situation. If you could, you would. It's not you that can take care of that physical problem on your own, come up with some magic elixir, or come up with some financial plan to change things. It's God that's going to change things. And so it's not your words that are changing things. Your words are the carriers of your faith, but it's God flowing through your faith. And so you know that it's God that has to take care of that physical problem. You know it's God that has to take care of that situation with people and jobs and businesses and money. It's Him. So we better have our faith in Him. And that's what I want to help you tonight, is your faith in God. Because people need to have a bigger picture of who their Father is. And I'm going to just show you and mention, we'll see if we turn there or not, or if I just have you follow along and write down notes here, we'll see. But I want to go just to four places. I'm just going to look at four different references. Again, we might just skim over them. But where we see people that had such an ultimate trust, because that's all faith really is, a trust or a faith in God. And because of that trust and faith in God, it opened doors for them. It moved things out of the way. It got them into things. It got them out of things. And it all came back to one place, which was they believed God. The natural said something. The natural in every one of these situations was bigger than them, more powerful than them. They didn't have the answer concerning it, but they didn't need to be stronger than the problem. They didn't need to have it all figured out. They didn't need to have all the answers. All they needed was faith in the one that was bigger, that was stronger, that did have all the answers. And so we're going to look at some faith in God. And the first place I want you to see is Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. Hebrews 11 and verse 7. And again, we're going to just look at four different people in different circumstances where they faced something the world threw at them. Because remember, you overcome by your faith of what the world throws at you. And the world threw things at these people and it was too much for them to handle. But they had faith in God and that's what worked for them. Praise God. Hebrews 11 and verse 7. This is the Faith Hall of Fame. We looked at this a little bit on Saturday, but let's look at a specific one here. Hebrews 11 and verse 7 says, by what faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Well, we know what happened on the earth. The earth was flooded. The earth had, they had never seen rain. Rain like that. And what did God tell them? God said, hey, you better build a boat, right? And Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and he's warning the people. This is what God's saying. Of course, Noah is being mocked, and Noah is going through the ringer, right? God, here he's facing a situation where something he's never seen. We know the end of the story. If he doesn't do what God said to do, it's over for him. It's over for his family, because it was over for everybody else. And it would have been over for them. And all the years, all the time, all the effort that went into building something, all the time, all the effort, all the years that went into building something that in the natural seemed absolutely ridiculous, right? Absolutely not worth doing. But Noah, the Bible said, being warned of God of things not seen. What's that mean? I had faith in what God said, even though I couldn't see it. Now, there were things coming upon the world. How did Noah overcome those things which came upon the world? By faith, just exactly what 1 John 5 and verse 4 said. We know there's things coming upon the earth. Jesus warned us in what we looked at Saturday and Sunday. Jesus warned us. Well, just like Jesus warned us, God warned Noah, and Noah didn't sit around and not prepare. Noah prepared and saved himself and his family and overcame what the world threw at them. Now, if we'll do the same thing, keep building ourselves in faith, building our faith up, those things which cometh upon the earth, even though we can't see some of those things, even though we don't know exactly what that looks like, when the time comes, when the rain hit, they were ready, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But by faith. So what is it again? What are we looking at? Having faith in God. What saved Noah? Having faith in God. God told him, do this, Noah did it, praise God, because he believed God more than what he could see, more than what the people were saying, and it worked. Go with me to Hebrews 11 and verse 8. Praise the name of Jesus. It says, notice the first two words, by faith. Well, what can by faith do for you? 1 John 5:4, what we looked at beginning tonight. Faith causes you to overcome what the world brings you. Amen. And so what we're looking at tonight is some cases of people that, because it all boiled down to having faith in God. And Hebrews 11 verse 8 says, by faith Abraham, praise God, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive after for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not even knowing where he went. Remember in Genesis chapter 12, the Lord said to Abraham, get out of the country, from everything you're comfortable with, everything you know, everything that is familiar to you, everything that's comfortable to you, leave and go. And he didn't even tell him where to go. Just said, pack your bags and go. And we know that he did that, didn't he? We know that he left, the Bible says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. We know he went. And we know that the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 12 that when Abraham obeyed that, he walked into great blessing. Praise God. Now, how could somebody just pick up and leave and go to a strange country in a strange land? You have to have faith in God. Now, if you go to verse 17, we're going to still talk about Abraham here for a second. What does it say in verse 17? By faith, Abraham, when he was tried or tested, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it said that in Isaac your seed shall be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So here we also see another picture of Abraham. Now, when you go back and you read in Genesis 22, the story of when Abraham was told by God, take Isaac up onto the mountain, what followed that happening, remember the angel appeared and spoke and encouraged Abraham and said, because you have obeyed the voice of God and have not withheld your only son Isaac, he said, blessing I will bless you. Multiply, I'll multiply. And he goes on and talks about blessings for Abraham, blessing for Abraham's family, blessings for Abraham's seed. He walked into great blessing. How did he walk into great blessing in Genesis 12 and Genesis 22? Doing something that seems so unnatural, so uncomfortable. The world has its ways. God has its ways because he believed God. Amen. I'm going to get a little redundant here these next two points about showing you, but I'm trying to put something in you, because if I can get you to get your faith in him, to have such a big view of him, it won't matter what shows up at your front door. It won't matter what tries to press upon you, tries to take you out, because the world, run by the devil, is trying to take you out. But we don't have to be overcome, because we have a little thing called faith. But it's not a little thing, you know, that's just a figure of speech, obviously. But anyways, what about Hebrews 11:29? It says, by faith they, now this, going back to verse 24, it's talking about Moses. So this was Moses and the whole congregation, but Moses was at the forefront of this deliverance. And it says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do or drown. Now here again, you talk about a mountain in their way. You talk about a barrier. You talk about walls needing to come down. I mean, they're just now delivered. They think they're home free. Ladies and gentlemen, as long as we're in this world run by the devil, we're never going to be home free. Now don't misunderstand me. I don't mean we're going to be overtaken, but we're always. If you're going to grow in God, and if you're going to pursue God, and if you're going to pursue all that he has for you, get ready for opposition. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 16, I believe it's over in the 9th verse, he said, there's a great door and effectual open to me, but there are many adversaries there. Anytime there's doors of opportunity, doors of growth, doors of increase, get ready for opposition. We ought not to be caught off guard by this. This is where, listen, when you go into a haunted house, don't recommend it. I've been there when I was young. I said, I ain't doing that ever again. I hate being scared. But you go into a haunted house, don't be surprised when you see scary things. Don't be surprised. You don't walk out of there and say, I got scared in there. I thought I was going to be peaceful and sweet. No, it's a haunted house. You live in a world run by the devil. Don't be surprised when devilish things try to come upon you and press upon you, right? We're not shocked by that. Peter said, beloved, think it not strange. And a lot of people are walking around with a strange look on their face. Why is this happening to me? What in the world? I tithe. I give. I show up to church. I use my faith. I love God. I worship Him. Yeah, you got a target on your back. Praise God. We don't have to be succumbed to the things of the world. But here, there they are in a great mountain. Can't pass through. I mean, there's no natural way out of this. And God says something. What? Lift that stick up over the water. What? You know, Willis from Different Strokes. What you talking about? What you talking about, Father? That's what Willis would have said. What? Lift my stick up. There's army coming back. What's the stick going to do? But he, what? Had faith in God. God was big to him. God was real to him. God was close to him. Hallelujah. And what I mean close to him, in Abraham's consciousness. Oh, yes. I better put that down so I don't forget to say this in a second here. Let's see here. Because I will forget if I don't. Praise the Lord. So we see Moses. Now, what about, we won't turn there for time's sake, because we've talked about this in leading up in the different sermons we've had when we were on online only. What about Elijah? Elijah had some worldly things try to take him out. A nasty king with a nasty wife after him, right? Trying to kill him. And Elijah can't just go around to business as usual. Can't go to the regular grocery store. Can't go to his job. Can't walk the streets like he used to. He's after him. And so God intervenes, loving God that he is. And God tells him, okay, go out to the wilderness where there's no grocery stores, where there's no residence out there. There's no family. There's no friends. There's no job. There's no income out there, Elijah. And if Elijah would have just stuck to what was comfortable, if Elijah would have just got into his own head or what his feelings were telling him, he'd have been killed. He'd have been taken captive by the nasty that was after him, praise God. But he had faith in God. See, we want to release our faith and believe, Mark 11, 23 and 24, but 22 tells us the key, have faith in God. See, because once you have faith in God, you'll talk right. Once you have faith in God, you'll pray right. You'll believe right. When you have faith in God, you'll be able to do Mark 11, 24, which is believe those things which you pray before you have them. And when you have faith in God, verse 22, you'll be able to do Mark 23. You'll be able to speak to the mountain and not doubt in your heart. They won't be empty words. It all starts with having faith in God. And we see Moses, Abraham, Elijah here, and Noah, they got over terrible things that came through them. They went into great things, escaped great things that were coming on the earth. Why? Simply this, they believed God. So I'm here tonight to help you with your faith in God. The trust that those people had. And we could look all through the Bible of different people. Could look at Esther. You could look at David. I mean, you could look at Joseph. You could look at so many people. You could look at the Virgin Mary. I mean, so many people that just believed God, and it changed everything. So we need to go back to the basics and start building our faith in Him. Because again, when your faith's in Him, there's nothing on the earth that can topple you, nothing that can overtake you. You know, it's to have faith in something or someone, you must know them. Noah, Abraham, Elijah, and Moses, they knew God. What do I mean by know God? He wasn't just an idea. He wasn't just a vending machine. He wasn't just something that they had, you know, a condemnation mindset that if they would just do some God things, then it would check off this box and it would ease their conscience. No, they knew God. And when life was hell on earth, when life was pressing, when everything looked chaotic and bad, they were so close to him and had so much belief in him, and he walked them through that problem and walked them into victory, and he'll do the same for you. In fact, none of them are even in close to the position we're in with the Holy Ghost on the inside of us, being redeemed, hallelujah. You know, thinking about knowing, you know, if I walk into an assembly at my children's school, and the majority of the kids are going to respond different to me than two of them are. I'm going to be able to say things to that assembly that only two may respond to. I'm able to lead those kids in that assembly, probably two of them different than any of the other ones. Of course, Caleb and Abby. And what's the reason? They know me. It doesn't matter how good I am. It doesn't matter how much blessing I have the ability to do for the kids in that assembly, or where I would want to lead those kids in that assembly, or what I would want to do. They don't trust me because they don't know me. It doesn't matter how powerful God is. It doesn't matter how much of a provider and a healer and a blesser and a deliverer he is. If you don't know him as that, you won't receive him as that. And I'll show you what I'm talking about here in a minute, but go with me to Daniel. Daniel just proves my point here. Daniel chapter 11. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? I know you are. Praise God. He's faithful, isn't he? You know, he's so good to us. He's so kind and compassionate to us. Praise the name of Jesus. I'm having a heck of a time finding Daniel tonight for some reason. Where in the world did you go, Daniel? Praise the Lord. 879. That's where it's if you want to find Daniel. Say, Pastor Mike, you have trouble sometime? I'm just human. I'm not perfect. If you thought I was perfect, darn it. I am so sorry to have ruined that in your mind tonight. Man, we should have kept that going. But Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32, you know, my kids will benefit from me because they trust me and believe me. You know, I could tell a kid, you know, that doesn't know me, hey, do this, do that, or look at me like you're crazy, you know, not respond to me the same way. They just don't know me. Daniel 11:32 says, "And such do as wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God," you see that? "The people that do know their God, shall be strong and do exploits." Crossing the Red Sea is quite an exploit. Yeah. Going out to the wilderness and being fed by the ravens, quite an exploit. Amen. You know, escaping a flood that takes out the world, quite an exploit. What was the common denominator? They all knew God. Faith is birthed from knowledge, right? We always say, what's faith's mama? Knowledge. Faith's mama is knowledge. And the Bible says here, if we'll know God, what happens when you know God? You have faith in God. What happens when you have faith in God? You do great exploits. You walk into things. You escape things. Praise God. I'm so thankful. I remember going to Rhema Bible Training Center, and it was early on. I got saved January 10th of 2002, hemmed and hawed during that year, finally gave my heart to Jesus. Towards the end of it, I gave my heart to Jesus January 10, 2002, but he was my Savior, not my Lord, you know, because I was afraid he was going to send me to China and Africa, and this young man does not want to go to China or Africa, and I still don't want to go to China or Africa unless the Lord's plan is to do that, but I stayed away, finally submitted, and towards the end of 2002, he spoke to me that I needed to go to Rhema. I did in February of 2003 for Brother Hagin's last winter Bible seminar. And then when I was there, I realized I'm supposed to go to school here. Well, when he told me to go to school there, I'm so thankful that before I had, or when I got to that school, they started teaching on faith, and they started with knowing God. And it just opened my eyes to things because I realized, wow, this is really the missing link of faith. I really believe this is the missing link of faith. This takes care of all your faith problems. When you know God, and it's like it's kind of like the story I've told you before where I'll tell Caleb and Abby some kind of big thing we're going to do, and or whatever I say. They don't sit around and think, how can that happen? Or what's the ins and outs? Or what's the process? All they know is Dad spoke something. That's all we have to be concerned with. And see, the missing link of faith is because we always, in our natural minds, we get tripped up in faith because we can't figure it out. This takes care of everything. And when they were teaching about who God was, I thought, well, this is the missing link of faith. It was like, I remember sitting in class. It was Reverend Marty Blackwelder, who was one of Brother Hagin's, on Brother Hagin's Rhema Singers and Bands, and he travels the world now and preaches. It was in his class, and he was talking, and I remember feeling like just the light bulbs came on of, okay, this is, because faith always was stirred in me. I didn't know it was because I was going to be a preacher. That was going to be the main thing I was going to preach. But it stirred in me like never before. I thought, this is the key. This is the key that I need to know. And I began to dive in and find out who my father was. That's why when I come out and say that I feel like I'm the most loved, it's because I've taken time to know him, to find out who he is. Amen? And of course, I'm so thankful. I could tell story after story, but I'm so thankful for having that put in me when I started the South Dayton Church. Because God, my life started to change after obeying him and starting that church, but it was hell on earth as far as the oppression, the attack financially, the attack physically on my body, the attack in my mind and emotions and just different things, the attack when Caleb was born. I mean, someday I'll come out and give the full testimony of his birth story and just all these things happened right about the time of starting the church. And Lord telling me what? Leave a job with a brand new baby and it was going to look like it was sinking me financially. None of that would have been able to be walked out. None of that would have been able to go forward because those were not easy things for me naturally. Do you think building an ark in the middle of that climate when they had never seen that was an easy thing? Do you think taking your son up onto the mountain and knowing you're going to plunge a knife through him is an easy thing? Do you think going out into the wilderness and leaving your income, leaving your family, leaving your job, leaving the grocery stores, and going out and having to trust that birds are going to bring you food is easy? Do you think standing at the banks of the Red Sea with an army bearing down on you, knowing you need to get across there, is easy on the flesh and the mind? No. And South Dayton was not an easy thing for me. Well, there was lots of pressure and opposition because there's been so much good that has come out of that church. So many people saved and healed and set free, and this church sprung up from it. I mean, when Pastor Michael said he had a vision years earlier in South Dayton, you know, he questioned, why in South Dayton, Lord? But the Lord showed him there's a great door in effectual. But what else do you find when there's a great door of effectual? Many adversaries. And I'm the one that's had to go through those things and feel the effects of those things at times. But I'll tell you what kept me going was faith in him. Financially, physically, things for the church and all that. So thank God for knowing him. And that's what I'm trying to drill into you. If you'll be like that wide-eyed young guy that I was when I went to Rhema and started to realize the missing link is knowing God. My finances are taken care of when I know him. My anything in my body's taken care of when I know him. Amen? Anything on the outward with dealing with people and pressure and opposition, it's all taken care of when I know him. Amen. Praise God. So two things, and we'll head down the slope to close here with two things that must be embedded in you, that I want to embed in you about knowing him, of where to start, because there's lots of things you can look at about him. But if we'll look at these first two things, then everything else that we look at, it's like icing on the cake is I guess how you'd say it. So number one, go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. Romans 8 and verse 31. Praise the Lord. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, then who can be against us? Now, if you're wondering if he's for you or not, then you just look at verse 32, and it tells you he's for you. How? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us. Everybody say, for me. Praise God. That's proof he's for you. How shall we not with him freely, how shall he not freely give us all things? And then, if you go to verse 37, it talks about all the trials and tribulations. It says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him. How are we more than conquerors? Because verse 31 says, if he's for us, that's the end of the story. So the first thing that needs to be embedded in you and you need to renew your mind to is God is for you. Praise God. I know it seems so basic and so simple, but when we look at who God is, which maybe we will going forward, we'll see, but how he's the healer, the provider, nothing's too hard for him. He's a miracle God. He's mighty. He's powerful. When you know that, then if people say, oh, I already know that he's for me. If you know he's for you, why are you ever entering into a land of fear? What thoughts have crept in to put you into a place of worry, doubt, and unbelief? If you know that you know he's for you, that takes care of everything because that automatically makes you a conqueror, more than a conqueror. Why are you, I already know he's for me. If you know he's for me, why do you tremble when there's not enough money? If you know he's for you when the symptoms come back and the doctor's report shows up negatively, why are you troubled if you know that he's for you? See, remember what knowing is. Remember the revelation the Lord had given me about what to know means. Remember he said, if you know the truth. And remember what Jesus what the Holy Ghost told Mary, you're going to have a baby. And she said, how can I have a baby? I've not known a man. Well, what does it mean to know a man? To become one with, right? And we saw that that's the same Greek word that Jesus used when he said, if you know the truth. So he was saying, when you know the truth, it's not just having a head knowledge, it's becoming one with the truth. When you've become one with the truth, you know the truth. Well, when you've become one with this, I already know that God's for me, Pastor Mike. This is basic elementary stuff. Yeah, but do you really know it? Because if you really know it, that's the first thing you revert to when opposition comes. Well, God's for me. And God, because God's for me, I'm going to walk out in victory in this. See, we have some work to do. Because at times, things show up and attempt to get us afraid and worried and fearful. And I'm included in that. We have some work to do in knowing him. So the first thing we need to do is we need to know he is for me. He is, God is for me. God is on my side, praise God. He said he gave Jesus to prove it, praise the Lord. Now the second thing, not only is he for you, but number two says in Hebrews 13:5, number two, Hebrews 13:5, we're going to find out what number two is. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, oh, I just got a revelation. Can I share what I just got? You probably already have this revelation. I don't say that sarcastically or arrogantly. I'm just saying, to me, it's brand new. Notice he says to be content with such things that you have. For he has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. How many of you know at times, things we have, things we're experiencing, thing, you know, we have a tendency to get out of contentment. Well, I sure like this, I was sure like that, or this would be better, and why can't I, and my car's this, my house this, whatever. And he says, be content. You know what the key to being content to whatever you have is? He says, for he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What's that? What's he saying? You might not have what you're pointing to that you want, but you have me. He said, I'll never leave you. See, if you find your joy in outward things, you'll never be content. But if your joy is found in him, he is the ultimate fulfiller of everything. I've never seen it like that before. We can be content when we realize we got him. Yeah, I might not, but I have him. Yeah, but I might be going through. Doesn't matter. I have him. Praise God. Hallelujah. But here's what I want you to see. Number two is that he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Not only is God for you, he said, I'll never leave you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Well, those things which are coming upon the earth are going to be walked out through men. We're going to see things and through mankind. And the Bible says, if we have a revelation that not only is he for me, but he's with me, praise God. You see how that solves your faith problems? When sickness shows up, and you know that he's for you, and you know that he hasn't left you, that's all I need to know about that sickness problem. That's it. He'll take care of that. When that opposition comes from people and circumstances, all I need to know is he's for me and he's with me. Praise God. Now here's what I gotta say, and you need to pay attention to this and get this. It's true for a Christian. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. But if you are not aware of this truth, it doesn't matter that it's true. What do I mean by that? Well, there's been a lot of Christians in life that have been overcome, that are overcome, that are buried in emotional and mental torment, that have struggled with sickness and disease and financial poverty and turmoil and tragedies and crisis and one thing after another. I'm not talking about seasons of testing. I'm talking about lifestyle of turmoil. That's not abundant life, people. He's offered us better that have experienced it and are experiencing it. And you know what? The whole time, God was for them, and God was with them, and faith was available. But because they weren't aware, and when you say aware, what do you mean? A revelation, a knowing, which what produces faith. So we can have this true. We have God with us. What does 1 John 4:4 say? Greater is he that's in us. It's just like salvation's available to everybody. It's free pickings. But people don't receive that blessing until what? They have faith for it. Well, I want God to work in my life. I want that power to flow. I want that revelation of him, or I want that to walk out, those doors to open, those mountains to move. I want to be able to have faith. You gotta have a revelation first. Now, this is what I wanted to say. I heard this said years ago, and it's one always stuck with me. A revelation of God's presence in one's life will cause somebody to live a more honorable, faith-filled, joyful, fearless life. Because when one knows that God is present and for you, it takes care of everything. But so many people are not aware. Christians will say, oh, God's with me. God's with me. If you really believe God's with you, what are you worried about? If you really believe and know that God is with you and for you, because Christians will say it all the time, my God is for me, and then they'll go behind closed doors and no. Pacing the floor with worry, laying in bed at night, wide awake, stressing over their situation. You don't know that God's for you. Amen. You don't know that God's for you. And a revelation of God's presence or a consciousness of God's presence in one's life will lead to a more faith-filled life. How could it not? Remember the movie with the baby cub and mama bear with the wolves? I believe it was a wolf. They were up on a rock. And a little baby bear, you know, got caught. I believe it was the wolves that were after him. And, oh, it didn't look good for the baby bear. And the baby bear just got tough, you know, and started just doing all a baby bear could do to make noise and to growl and to you know, kind of like when Abby gets mad, you know, a little growl comes out at her. You know, it's like, it's wow, that sounds scary, but I'm not really scared. And you're trying real hard, but the wolves, they're not moved. But all of a sudden, the wolves, you know, they run away scared. And it kind of, the movie makes it depict like the baby bear, wow, is pretty proud of themselves, you know. But then the camera pans back and there's Big Mama right behind, and she's got her teeth out. And so it wasn't the baby bear. But my point is this, when we realize, when we truly know who is with us and never will leave us and never will leave our children. I'll tell you, I'll help you with your kids. I can't be with my kids all the time, but God can. Amen. And I need my faith for him to operate in their life. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's the truth. You know, isn't it interesting? In Mark chapter 4, in verse, remember on the boat, the disciples on the boat? They better thank their lucky stars Jesus was in that boat that day. That thing was sinking without him. Because why? It was his faith that calmed that storm. But here's my point. The whole time, they knew God was in the boat, but they didn't know God was in the boat. They knew it from a place a lot of Christians just say, oh, I know he's with me. Oh, I know he's for me. Then why, when the storm hits, are you running around like the disciples with a chicken with your head cut off, spewing doubt, unbelief, and worry? It's because you don't know it. They did not know who was in the boat with them. They're there panicking and in fear, and God is in the stinking boat with them. Here we lay in bed in fear and pace the floors and call people and worry and fear. And the whole time, the God of the impossible is in us and with us. We just don't know it. We just don't know it. Talking about overcoming the world starts with faith. Starts with faith in God. Praise the Lord. Go to Joshua 1 and verse 1 and we'll close here. I'm glad I came tonight. I mean, I drove through Noah's Ark on the way here. My goodness. It was raining so hard from Falconer to Salamanca. I think I did see the Ark go by me. I think the Ark was there, and Noah was waving. But it was raining, and wow, it was raining. Joshua 1, and here's what we're talking about. The reason you need to renew your mind to this is because you are the one that has to act. You have to have faith in him, but then you have to step out and speak it or obey or do whatever he's saying. You have faith is an action. You know, Noah, having faith in God, then had to act. Elijah, faith in God, had to then act. Moses, faith in God, but had to then act. And you got to get this in you, because if you don't act the right way, and I'm not talking about having your I's dotted and your T's crossed and a holiness, of course, that counts. That's not what I'm not saying that doesn't, but I'm saying in faith, your faith is what's going to conquer. Your words, your actions, the way you proceed in life, the way you follow through and walk out what he says. Joshua chapter 1, in verse 1, it says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over into this Jordan, you and all the people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, I have given you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness. And he talks about the place. Now, what you have to understand about this is, remember, we already were through this 40 years ago, and we failed this test. You know, it's kind of like you fail your, thankfully I didn't, but I hear of a lot of people that failed their driver's test, and they take it second, third, fourth time. Thank God you can have a redo. This was their redo. See, the first one, they went through the stop sign, forgot to turn the turn signal on, couldn't parallel park the car. And so they failed their test, and the Lord said, you're not taking this driver's test again until 40 years from now. And so 40 years from now, here they are, and the Lord's saying, okay, it's time. Go back, and we're going to go right where we were before. Guess what? You're going to get there. The same mountains are going to be there. Same armies are going to be there. Same cities are going to be there, and the same walls that kept you out the last time are going to be there. The same people that look like giants and you grasshoppers in their sight, they're going to still be there. Everything's going to still be there, but I want you to go take the land. And so, obviously, this would bring about feelings, thoughts, and fear. And now, Joshua's leading everybody. I mean, what a tough act to follow. You imagine following Moses? I don't remember who the quarterback was that followed Jim Kelly, but that's my point. You remember Jim Kelly, you don't remember the quarterback that followed Jim Kelly. And he's got to follow Moses. And he did a pretty good job because we remember Joshua. I don't remember Jim Kelly's backup because after that, I mean, that was too sad. I remember coming back from Erie. I was on my own shopping in Erie one day. Listen to WGR 550, and Jim Kelly retired. And I was 1996, so I would have been a junior in high school, and I bawled my eyes out. Oh, it was such a tough day for your pastor. And so whoever the quarterback was after, I probably resented the guy. And so I'm sure a lot of people resented Joshua, you know. But anyways, he's got to go in and look at what the Lord says to him. Now remember, God told them 40 years ago, this is what I have for you. But they didn't walk it out. Why? Lack of faith. More faith in the walls, more faith in the armies and the people and the giants that were grasshoppers in their sight. That they felt like grasshoppers in their sight. They had more faith in that. So because they didn't walk it out, they didn't overcome. And what does the Bible say in 1 John 5, verse 4? You know what the victory that's going to overcome the world? Your faith. You're going to have to walk out the victory. So you got to make sure your faith. And God knows, Joshua, I need you. I can't do this for you. I'll give you the strength. I'll flow through your faith, but you need to step out and walk this out. So God says, there shall not be any man, verse 5, that stand before you all the days of your life. Now notice what the first thing he says to him. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. What's he saying? The only thing you got to know, Joshua, is I am with you. What are we talking about? Having that revelation that he's with us. When we know it, God says it'll change everything. All you need to know, Joshua, I'm not leaving you. I'm going with you. Enough said. Ain't no sickness. Ain't no person. Ain't no financial problem. Ain't no situation that he can't handle. Glory to God. Praise his name forevermore. The first thing he tells him, I'm not going to fail you. I'm going to be with you. Be strong and of good courage. Why is he saying that? Because you got to walk this out. For unto this people you shall divide for an inheritance of land, which I swear unto the fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law Moses my servant commanded. Turn not from it. Right? Praise God. And look what it says in verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of courage? He just keeps reminding them. What's this called? Renewing Joshua's mind. What's it called? Faith comes by what? Hearing and hearing it. God's not repeating himself because he's a dummy. God's not repeating himself because he forgot he already said it. No. God knows principles of the word because he is the word. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing. So you know what you need to do? You need to hear and hear, 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 that he's for you and that he won't forsake you. Hear and hear, till what? Becomes real to you on the inside. And he tells him again, have I not commanded you to be of strong and courage? Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord God is with you. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing. So we know by Saturday, you know what a cheery message that was in the beginning. Doom and gloom is coming to the earth. We're going to see it, but we don't have to be overcome by it. And the way we overcome in this world is by our faith. I'm telling you, I'm teaching my children faith and believing God. I'm teaching them because they're going to grow up in this stuff. And I'm sorry to say, I hate to say it, I don't like saying this. We see by the example of the children of Israel, people will miss out and experience hardship if they're not in faith. God doesn't want it, but it will happen. And there are people in the body of Christ who are precious, who love him, that don't know him, that don't know how to operate in faith, and these things will come upon them in the world, and the whole time they'll have God in them, the whole time they'll have God on their side, but they'll just approach it from some religious, feel-good kind of way, and things will come, and it'll. But the ones that know their God will do great exploits. Praise God. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you for the word tonight. Lord, we are so blessed. I'm stirred up. Are you stirred up? He is good to us. Hallelujah. Father, thank you so much for helping us. Thank you so much for your word tonight. Lord, I just have been so impressed upon by the Holy Ghost to just keep putting this in people. Lord, because my job is to get people to grow in you. My job is to get people to walk out victorious and successful and overcoming lives. And Father, this is the groundwork. This is where it starts. And so, Father, I just pray that people would be like Joshua and hear this over and over. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, what? No. Until nothing makes you tremble. Until nothing moves you off of rejoicing and faith and expectation and hope, you don't know it. So, Father, help us to know these things. Lord, we commit to renewing our minds. We praise you. Let's just thank him tonight for his word. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the word. Now, Father, I know that everyone in this room is born again, but I can't see everybody that's watching. If we could bow our heads and close our eyes. If you're watching tonight, say, man, that sounds good, having God before me and God be with me. You know, there's a misconception in the world that everybody's children of God. I've seen people say things like that. I've seen posts on Facebook. We're all children of God. It's just not biblically true. The whole world is God's creation. But the Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 12 that it's the people that have received Jesus that get to be called the children of God. And if you're watching and you say, you know what, I would love to have God on my side. I would love to have God with me. It's real simple. Jesus said the way that you come unto God is by him. John 14:6 said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man can come to the Father except through me. So the only thing you have to do is believe in Jesus and receive him. Romans 10 and verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. What does that mean to be saved? You become a child of God. God is then with you. God is then for you. God is then on your side. Hallelujah. And so if you're watching, you say, I don't know that I've ever received Jesus. I'm not sure. I don't think I have. I don't know. Don't let any more time pass you by. You just go ahead and cry out to him. You go ahead and reach out to him, and you do Romans 10 and verse 9, and a way you can pray, just pray and mean this with all your heart. Just say, Lord, I believe in you. I believe you died. I believe you rose again. And I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to save me. Now, if you'll do that, John 3:16, Romans 10:13, he'll do his part. He'll save you, and he'll love you, and he'll help you. And we encourage you from this point forward. You're saved. You have him. But you need to learn about him. You need to be brought, be strengthened and built up in him. And the way that you do that is get into a good Bible teaching church that's teaching the word. And watch what God will do for you. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Let's just all magnify him together. Come on and praise him. You know, praise will keep your attention on him. It'll help you with him. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We honor you and glorify you. We honor you and glorify you. We praise you tonight. Thank you for your mercy and for your goodness. Thank you for your help and for your kindness. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to take up our offering now. And again, I just encourage you. You know, I just want to keep you up to date on things. I know different people are doing different things. Even in the family churches, people are doing different things. I just, you know, early on had to take my mind out of it and say, Lord, how do you want me to run my churches? And so some of the guidelines and things that we have, I'm believing that they'll pass soon and we'll be able to get to love on one another again and, you know, get rid of some of the things. But thank you for being patient and respectful and honorable. I don't enjoy some of this stuff. But every time I get into prayer, can't we just, I don't have a release yet and I'm not going to question it. And so I'm just going to stay with him. I don't care what Pastor Michael's doing, Pastor Tim, Pastor Jeff, Pastor Nancy. It doesn't matter to me. Early on, I just, Lord, how do you want me to do it? And I'm going to keep obeying my spirit. And even though my personality and some of the things personally for me don't mesh up with some of the things we're doing, you know, just to be honest with you, but I don't pastor based on my personality. Pastor based on the Holy Ghost. But real quick, go to Philippians 4:19, and as you leave, the offering bucket, they should be set up there in the back. You can leave that, and we just ask you to not fellowship, but just to go and go in faith and joy and know that you're loved. But we'll see you again on Saturday, or if you want to come out to Wednesday, you're more than welcome to do that. But Philippians 4 in verse 19, And of course, I do want to say, by the word, you know, the Bible talks about in Galatians 6, when you've been taught the word, it's our job to communicate, to give. And so, you know, sometimes I think maybe people could think, well, you know, I get to get out of getting an offering. First of all, if you have that mentality, you have the wrong idea of giving. We give because we love Him, but we also know there's a benefit to it. It doesn't hurt us to give. But second of all, I think, well, if I'm not there, I don't have to give. Listen, if you partake of a message and you hear the word, we give after that. Amen? And so I want to encourage you, if you're watching online, there's ways to give online. You can mail it to the South Dayton address, P.O. Box 199, South Dayton, New York, 14138. And if you say, Pastor, are you saying this just because you're money hungry? No, I want you to be doers of the word. I want you to walk into this kind of stuff. You know, when I sit down and I watch a message from my pastor or pastor, I give an offering. The Bible tells me to do so, so I do it, praise God. And especially, you know, if you're part of this church and you're just staying home, don't feel like you're exempt from being a supporter blessing just because you're home. And so you can give by texting. You text the dollar amount to 84321, press send, or go to the homepage, tab mark give up there, and then follow the directions. Most of you know how to do that. But it says in Philippians 4:19, it says, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And we know that's His will. But I really believe the key to this verse always has been knowing what it's according to. And, you know, I've talked about different financial tests and trials in my own life. And my major one, starting the church, we mentioned that earlier, in the financial situation. The main thing that I did to build my faith is if He's going to meet my needs according to His riches and glory, I need to have faith in what His riches and glory are. His riches and glory, the Bible says, can take care of all your needs. Doesn't matter how big they are. Doesn't matter how little money you have. His riches can take care of it. Even if your job, your retirement check, your pension, your Social Security, whatever can't, His riches can. So I need to get my faith into His riches. So I went back years ago and just started looking in the Bible. What were some of His riches in demonstration? In all the places of provision, supernatural provision, and supernatural deliverance, and supernatural increase. And by continuing to look at that, guess what? My faith grew in His riches. And it no longer mattered that I didn't have a paycheck. And it no longer mattered that we had $2,000 worth of debt every month that we needed to pay, that we didn't have. It didn't matter anymore because I had faith in His riches. So get your faith in His riches. Wow, we were blessed tonight. Amen. Father, thank You for the opportunity to give. It is a joy. It is an honor. We thank You, Lord, as we give. We declare all the needs of Family Church Allegheny are met. We're fully funded, fully supplied. All the money, all the properties, all the buildings and equipment, and all the people we need to do what You've called us to do, it comes. And Father, I thank You that we as givers, as doers of the word, we lack no good thing. We walk into great increase, for if we are increased, we could be a bigger blessing. We thank You for divine ideas, promotions, wisdom, and favor financially, supernatural increase coming our way, and we'll give You the praise. We'll give You the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before you're dismissed, of course, Jeff will dismiss you going out. Don't forget, Saturday, we have service tomorrow night in South Dayton, Saturday service. Love you. Appreciate you. If you need prayer, feel free to stay off to the side. We'll pray for you. But love you. Appreciate you. You are dismissed. Praise God.